Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your radio show host, Randy Fine. And today is Free Advice Friday. Been doing this for a long time. The day that I take your calls and answer your questions about narcissistic abuse. If you'd like to call in, the number is 424-220-1801. I urge you to. It's really great when you call in and other people can hear what you have to say. Also, you can get your questions answered, and I'm happy to do that for you, so don't be shy. Today I want to talk to you about the programming that occurs with narcissistic abuse. Narcissistic abuse, I mean, we know because we've all read about it, I've talked about it, over and over, but narcissistic abuse creates a complex syndrome that is difficult to work through. And one of the main reasons that it's difficult to work through it is because of the programming that's been put in our minds. And this programming is not only limited to what your narcissistic abuser has said to you, but it goes way, way back to childhood, to the things that have been placed in there. We come into this world perfect babies. We are blank canvases. And our parents begin writing on it, on this canvas, almost immediately. In our society, it's important that we follow certain guidelines. And the same is true in our families. Our families have a particular way, and it's a very unique way, that they exist, that they run. So our parents are likely to tell us things that cause us to believe what they believe. Sometimes those beliefs are religion. Sometimes they're about life. Sometimes they're advice. There are many, many things that your parents will tell you that will stay with you forever. And as a child, you take this and believe it at face value. So what is in your mind is not always going to be pertinent to what is going on in your life now, nor will it be good for you. Because a lot of these things were programming based on a different kind of belief, but once you have entered life and created your own belief system, those are no longer relevant. However, they're there, and they keep going round and round in your head, and you keep calling on them because that's where your subconscious wants to go, because that's where the grooves in the road are deepest. While you're making new grooves in the road with your new way of thinking, the old grooves are much, much deeper, and our subconscious tends to go in that direction. So we're always calling on a dialogue that really is not ours, but it feels like ours. So now I want to talk about the programming from the narcissist. And we all know that this is serious stuff. This is brainwashing. And narcissists program us in ways that we are most likely unaware of. So most of the things that they do to us, we really have no idea are being done to us. And when we look back at the abuse, it doesn't really look like abuse, although it feels like abuse. And that's really difficult for us to wrap our minds around. But from the moment a narcissist gets their hands on you, they begin programming you. They begin brainwashing you. They begin tearing you down. And so what happens is that, especially in romantic relationships, because you're going to see this happen or feel this happen, and it's going to be much more obvious to you than it would be if this has been going on since childhood. But in these relationships, they start off wonderful, and you start off feeling great about yourself and about that other person. And little by little, you began to feel guilty. You began to get negative feedback about who you are. You begin to doubt yourself. You begin to think that you are the problem in what's going wrong in the relationship. And you cannot see it any other way. You are blind to it. So when you look back and you try to figure out exactly when did this happen, you're not going to be able to, because it was done in such a subtle way that you didn't even know it was being done to you. And that's why narcissistic abuse is so dangerous, because it gets a hold of our minds and it hijacks them and it takes us in a direction against our will, our conscious will, but our subconscious follows right along with it. So that's what's really, really hard about this. And when you come out of these kind of relationships, what you know intellectually is not what you know emotionally. And this is the reason. Because emotionally, you've been trained to think a different way. Intellectually, you look at the picture and you say, okay, this was not a good person for me. This was a toxic person. This was a toxic family. This was a toxic relationship. I know that. I know that the person emotionally abused me, and sometimes physically abused me, and sometimes sexually abused me. And I know that I may have bruises to show for it, or I may not. Yet, I cannot believe that this person has done this to me. I do not want to believe that, because it doesn't make any sense to me. And it's not going to make any sense to you because it's not logical. Only the narcissist knows where he or she is headed with this information, with this programming, this downloading that they're putting into you without your free will. So trying to heal from this is quite difficult for many reasons. One being complex PTSD, which is part of the narcissistic victim syndrome. But another part is this syndrome of lying to ourselves, of fooling ourselves, deceiving ourselves, telling ourselves that what happened did not happen. So it's important, and I tell most of my clients this, when it becomes this confusing and it's so hard to merge the emotional and the logic together, I tell them to begin to experience the abuse or being around that person in a physical way. How is your body reacting to that? Because so many of the reactions are just responses, automatic responses that we don't even realize are happening because they're so much a part of how we feel. So, are you feeling tension in your solar plexus? Are you getting headaches? Do you go in feeling happy and suddenly feel down? Do you start out with this person excited and come home feeling guilty? What exactly is happening? What is happening in your body? What is there tension in your head? Are you clenching your hands? Are you fidgeting? What exactly are you doing? What does this make you do? Pay attention to it because you'll find that you are having a lot more reaction to what is happening than you may even realize. So once you see that this is happening, then you have choices to make. If you can corral the person, if you can successfully become their warden, then you can continue these relationships. But I'm telling you, that's really difficult and arduous. So what we say to ourselves often is that we were not good enough. We didn't try hard enough. We aren't worthy. There's something that we could have tried that maybe we didn't try. That we're to blame for everything that's happened in these relationships. And by the way, when I say that, that's just part of being mentally healthy, is to take responsibility for what happens in relationships. And in normal relationships, you do. Because it's two people creating a scenario. With narcissistic abuse, it's a victim and a hostage. And you are the victim. And being a victim means you're not in this willingly, even though you think you are. So we need to begin to deprogram and reprogram what's in there, whether it be what our parents told us, whether it be what our love interest or spouse has told us, or our sisters or our boss has told us we are. We have to begin to take this apart and say, is this really, really true? Am I really these things? Was I these things before I began this kind of relationship? Am I those things outside of the relationship? And if you find that you are not this way outside of relationships, and this is not the person that you were before, then the only logical reasoning is that you've been programmed in a way that is not healthy for you. So we have to listen to what is being said to us in our heads, and our minds do talk to us. And we're used to our minds talking to us. We don't even realize that our minds are talking to us. But they are telling us some truths and some untruths, and we need to filter it out. We need to figure out what is true. Obviously, after you've been in an abusive relationship, you are not feeling great about yourself. And it's really hard at this point to try to figure out what's being said to yourself because you're hurting so badly. You're in crisis mode. You've just come out of a war. You've got PTSD. You're shell-shocked. So sometimes it's hard to take apart your thoughts at that point because your emotions are so raw. So at this stage of the game, this is where you begin self-love. So the way that we talk to ourselves is really a huge component of self-love. So say you do a lot of really nice things for yourself. You pamper yourself. You take yourself out on dates. You splurge on a food that may not be the best for you from time to time. You take baths. You take long walks. Whatever it is that makes you feel better about yourself, this is what you do. But what you probably do not do, because I hear this time and time again, is that voice telling you that you were stupid for being in this relationship, you were stupid for staying in this relationship, you were stupid for not seeing it. Why did you stay? Look how much time you wasted. These are all things that you're naturally going to say to yourself when you get out of these relationships because you're blaming yourself. But you are not to blame. So, self-love is the way we talk to ourselves in addition to the way we treat ourselves and the things we do for ourselves. Self-love is in our words. When we say, we should have, we could have, why didn't I? When we say that we're stupid for having stayed in this kind of relationship. All these things, when we say these things to ourselves, are reversing any self-love that we've given to ourselves. Because this is the most important component in initial healing, is what you are saying to yourself about your self-love. So it's not about, at this stage of the game, it's not about taking apart the thoughts as much as recognizing them and shooing them away. Or having an affirmation, or having something that says, stop, 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 caution, caution, caution. Whatever you have to do, as soon as that thought enters your mind, you've got to be on guard. You've got to be ready to dispute it or ignore it. Because if you don't, it's very difficult to get over the first stage of healing, the stage where you are emotionally raw. These emotions aren't going to just lift in time because they've affected who you are as a person. And you don't really even know who you are as a person because there's a part of you that is behaving in a way that is not you. This is a mental thing. So you feel like yourself, and yet you cannot, you have no control over what you're feeling and what you're going through. This feels very real. And you wonder why you can't pick yourself up, why you can't just go on with your life. And it doesn't help that everyone else is telling you to do both of those things. We can't listen to that either. That is, those words are very, very hurtful. And we cannot push them aside, and we cannot just take it, because it's like daggers. It's barbs that come at us and make us feel terrible. Because we're already telling ourselves that. Why can't we? I should be able to. So we have to stop listening to what other people say to us. If you have to isolate yourself, keep yourself from certain people, or there's actually a way to control this, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, but whatever you have to do to keep these opinions and judgments from coming in, you have to do it. Because I'm telling you that, you know, this first stage, it's all about self-love. And anything that sabotages that, anything that puts us in the wrong mindset, is going to keep us in pain. And when we move past this horrible, horrible pain, emotional pain, then we have things to think about, and then we have tools we can use. But we've got to get out of that initial stage. And it's why I say over and over that this is not something that anyone can do for themselves, because you think that your thinking is correct. So what I do for my clients is give them a true perspective. Acknowledge what they're feeling and acknowledge what they've experienced, but give them a true perspective. And what's really interesting is, at first, they really feel comforted by that. They really like having that perspective. And they really feel a weight lifted off their shoulders, knowing that someone understands them, validates them, and is willing to help them, wants to help them. That's in my case, at least. I want to help people. And they always make a second appointment with me, and it's just very interesting because usually that's a week later. And by that time, they've already told themselves the old story again, and they don't hear what I've told them. And I have to do it again. And then a week goes by, and they lose what I've told them. They come back, and I have to do it again. So in the beginning, if you don't have this voice of reason, if you don't have the compassion and the faith and hope that someone knows what to do about this, you're going to be stuck in your pain. Because what you are telling yourself, what you are feeling, is the old grooves in the road. They're so deep. They've been there for 100 years, or however old you are. I'm sure you're not 100, but however old you are, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, these are grooves in the road that have been dug in daily over the course of those years. But what we know now is that our brain does not stay in that state. There's something called neuroplasticity. And with neuroplasticity, we can recreate the way our brain thinks. We can change it. We can cover the tracks that have been grooved in for so long and start making new ones. And as we do this, and each time I bring you back to a place where you feel better, we are beginning to pave that new road. We're paving it. We're not grooving it. We're just paving it. But over time, we tend to go that way and leave the other behind. We throw dirt over it and we move into a new frame of mind. So this is a process that it takes time. Another thing that people generally say to themselves is, I want this to happen really fast. I want to get through this, and I want it over with. But if you think about what I just said to you, how could that possibly be? How could it possibly just be a 1, 2, 3 fix and then over with? No, it doesn't work that way. Because your brain is going to think an old way, and you cannot get out of that loop of thinking. So, and I see this demonstrated time and time again. Because in the beginning, most people cannot hold on to the reality of the situation. They cannot hold on to the truth of the situation for an entire week. And I know that. And I often tell people, don't be surprised if you go back into a funk, because you will in the beginning. But I have so much patience, and I completely understand what's going on. So I know we have to pave a new road. And I know we have to begin to groove it. So if you're thinking that you can think your way through this or think your way out of it, maybe it's not impossible, but it is arduous. It is a hard way to go. So there are many things that we say to ourselves. And if you're thinking that you should be done with this already, stop saying that to yourself, because that is not loving. Loving is patience, and loving is kindness. Loving is acceptance. Loving is honoring who you are and where you are at this very moment in time. Whatever that be. Not what people tell you you are, but who you are at this very moment. Who you know yourself to truly be. If you sat down and you created two columns of who you think you are, who you've been told you are, and who you know yourself to be, they're going to be very different in the beginning. So you might want to try that because it could be startling. But you did not do that to yourself. You did not create that toxic thinking. It was put in there by someone who had a sinister agenda. And that was to ruin you so they can feed on you. It's like, birds of prey that wait for a dead animal to feed on it. Some birds of prey kill the animal to feed on it. Narcissists do both because the ones who feed on it after it's already dead are the ones who are just capitalizing on someone's vulnerability. Another thing that people say to me is that I am a smart person. I am successful. I do great in the business world, or I used to do great in the business world. I'm intuitive, highly intuitive. I can read people. How did I not see this? You can't see it, not because you're not smart, because everyone that I work with is smart and accomplished. Everyone. And everyone is intuitive. Every single one of us is intuitive. And we're on the lookout for these kind of people, and we don't see them. We get into relationships and we don't even see it. That's how good the narcissist is. These are very dangerous people. They're dangerous to our minds. They don't have to hit us. They don't have to stab us. They don't have to cut us, bruise us. Because they do all of that to our minds without us even knowing it. And I mean this. I really, truly mean this. If you try to think of yourself, if you try to think of the way the narcissist thinks, you cannot. You cannot possibly do it. It is not your way of thinking. It's entirely different. It's the thinking of a parasitic person who only wants one thing and doesn't care who you are, what you're about, what happens to you, what they do to you. Only what they can get from you. Only how they can feed on your narcissistic supply. Good and bad. So be very careful about what you tell yourself and what you're accusing yourself of, what you're blaming yourself for, the guilt that you are holding onto. And if you cannot rise above these things, if you cannot recognize these things and say, I get it. And I also don't want you to feel bad if you can't. Because most people cannot. No matter how intelligent, intuitive, or successful they are, they cannot grasp this. So please be kind to what you say about what you say to yourself. Self-love is at the core of all this healing. The reason is because when you love yourself, you don't allow anyone to make you feel bad. No one. You have boundaries. You decide that you are viciously protective over yourself. No one gets to mess with your serenity, with your peace of mind. No one. And when you get to that place, you walk fearlessly in life. Because you know no one can hurt you without your consent, and you're not going to give it. So that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about with you today. I hope that you have picked up a copy of my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, The Narcissistic Abuse Survivor's Guide to Healing and Recovery. It is so valuable to you at whatever stage of healing you are in. I cannot even begin to explain to you how valuable this book is to you. I wrote it for you. So pick up a copy, and if you're disappointed, please let me know, because no one has been. This is a book that, just like a dictionary, is going to be a reference book for you for the rest of your life. You're going to call on this book because you're going to go back to situations. Life is cyclic. We don't go through things just once. We don't. By that I mean we don't have trauma just once. We go through traumas in life. That's just the way life is. It's never one way. So when you're having a hard time, you can call on Close Encounters to find what you need. I also talk about the things that have occurred with you as a result of your narcissistic abuse that you may not even relate to that abuse. Weight loss, eating disorders, overachieving, underachieving, empathic sensitivity. These are things that you are walking around with and don't know where they came from. Drug addiction, alcoholism, huge, huge, huge problem for people who have been narcissistically abused. And if it's not you, but you're with someone who has these kind of problems, they can mimic narcissism. It's really hard to figure out where the drug ends and where the narcissism begins, or even if there is narcissism in that person, because they're very manipulative, they're very selfish, they're predators, and they're parasites. So it can look very much the same. If you are interested in working with me, you can go to randyfine.com, Randy, RANDIFINE.com, and then at the top, there's all these different pages of where you can go to, and you want to go to the coaching and counseling, Fine Coaching and Counseling section, and there you can make an appointment. And you can also find out information. But I also encourage you to just visit my website, randyfine.com, and go through it, because I post often, and I post things that you need to hear or you will feel better hearing. I'm all about you. I love myself, but I'm all about you, and it doesn't take anything from me. I can still love and protect myself and give you what you need. So I'm here for you. And I thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you listening. Keep tuning in. My next show is going to be June 14th. Same time, same place. Get your questions together or your comments. Call in. It'll make this show much more interesting. Not to say that what I say is not interesting, but it would be interesting to hear something other than what I'm saying. I want to hear what you have to say. If you cannot listen live to my shows, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. And just tell me, this is a question you want answered on the show, and I will be happy to answer it. And I will let you know when the show has aired, and I will give you a link to the show so you can hear your question answered. I'm devoted to you. I've been in pain, and I've been out of pain. And I know what both feels like. I don't want you to be in pain. I don't want you to suffer. So I hope that I've explained some reasons why you're finding this very difficult. And in Close Encounters, there's a whole section on things that you say to yourself. There's a whole section on self-validation and a section on self-love. And I divide up self-love into 7 components and everything that falls under each of those so that you can see where you are in that self-love spectrum. And you have accomplished probably a lot of it, or you wouldn't be here. But you need to accomplish all of it. And then you are fearless. You walk fearless in this world. So I wish you a great Mother's Day if you're a mother, or mother-like, or stepmother, or whatever. I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day. And Memorial Day is coming as well, so it marks the end of the summer, or the beginning of the summer. No. The beginning of the summer. Labor Day is the end of the summer. I live in Florida, so it's always summer. I get confused. But anyway, have a great rest of the month. And I'll see you on June 14th. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.